Good evening. I call to order the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education work session. Today is Tuesday, June 10th, 2025, and the time is 5:30. Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mr. Jenkins.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Can we all please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so now I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for discussion items.
All right, well, thank you very much. So it is an extreme pleasure to introduce Jackie and Andrew back in front of you. As you all know, they handle PBIS in our district, and they've got a presentation for you tonight and talk about our student discipline and all that's gone on this year. And so they're going to fire that up here when everything works out really well. I'll just keep killing time.
So the data that we're going to share with you this evening has been pulled from both Kickboard, which is our current behavior software that we use to record both positives and negatives, or what we have gotten from our wonderful Stella as well. So we're really excited to share this with you guys.
The material is in your packet if you're wondering if there's material. So
yeah, and as we walk through some of it, we will, you know, take out and highlight for you, but we won't read everything word for word, of course. So that's why you have your packets that you can peruse at your leisure.
Just wanted to make sure that this is all fine and good. So there we go.
So where we would like to take us, where we'd like to start is with suspensions and expulsions. So if you take a look at the bar graph up there, you'll see the 22-23, 23-24, and 24-25, which is really exciting because you can see a steady decline in those suspensions. This year showing almost a 16% reduction, and that's a decrease of 710 instructional days, which is really exciting. So, and then thank you. So with elementary, we're down 13% in our suspensions, which is 267 and a half days from the 23-24 year. And in secondary, we are down 18%, which is a whopping 443 days from the 23-24 school year. So super exciting. You'll see our expulsions have ticked up a bit, but we are still well below where we were in 22-23. And we know that, you know, obviously when we bring a student in front of our board, that is a zero tolerance situation, and those have to be addressed as such. So
so the next thing we're going to talk about is referrals. And this is where that Kickboard data is incredibly informative and incredibly useful in how we plan and how we move forward with things through PBIS and Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 data for students and that grow throughout the buildings. So this tells the story about what referrals look like by grade over the course of our first full entire year with Kickboard as a district-wide service to understand where we are behaviorally. Over the course of the year, an average MPS student had around 2.7 referrals. 61% of our students did not have a single office discipline referral, and 12.4% only had one referral throughout the entire course of the year. So you can see where yellow represents our elementary students, and that purple represents our secondary students. We have some data later that pulls out specifics around our fourth and fifth grade cohort and what our data tells us in planning for that next building. So this tells us a little bit by what, how many referrals we had per month over the course of the year. Throughout the district, we averaged around 43 and a half referrals per day throughout every building. And this just kind of gives us an idea of where we need to, what times of year we need to understand our real struggles, where we can grow, and what we can see, and how we can look more in depth into that. These are our most referred behaviors as broken down district-wide, elementary, and secondary behaviors. So our district-wide top referred behaviors were moderate physical contact, insubordination, and tardiness. And you can see how they kind of break down from an elementary level to a secondary level. So elementary, your most referred behaviors are moderate physical contact and either insubordination or persistent insubordination. While secondary, they were more focused on or the things that were more of a focus were tardies, skipping, and cell phone violations. So that kind of helps us understand where we need to put our energies for social emotional learning and for PBIS work.
So now we're going to take a look at where our data breaks down into the majors, minors, and some behavior specifics. So if you take a look at the slide up here, this is a breakdown of our major behaviors. With the district and the elementary, they track, you know, pretty consistently, persistent insubordination, creating a disturbance, and aggressive physical contact with an adult. When you take a look at our secondary, where that veers off is vapes and inhalants. So our total for our major behaviors is actually 3,192 for the district for the year. And I'm going to come back to that number here in a minute. So when you look at our minors, district-wide, we've got disrupting class, insubordination, refusal to work. And then elementary, insubordination, disrupting class, and disrespect. And then in secondary, cell phone and electronics violation, sleeping during class, and disrupting class. So there's some variance there. In our minors, we pulled 27,737 minor behaviors this year, which that means between the 27,000 and the 3,192, we're looking at a 9-to-1 ratio, which ultimately that's where we want to sit, is we want those smaller behaviors to be what we're really tackling and what we're seeing versus those major behaviors. So then when you take a look at our peer-to-peer, and obviously this is addressed quite a bit through our peer-to-peer rubrics, and those rubrics align with Kickboard and what teachers and staff see when they go into the system and how they log that. So when you look at peer-to-peer, you can see level zero behaviors. Those are classroom-managed behaviors. Those are our lowest level peer-to-peer mistreatment sort of behaviors. That was our highest logged, was sitting in level zero, which is, again, that's really great. And then it goes up to level three. And we had a total, actually, of 14,410 total peer-to-peer behaviors. But again, with level zero being our highest, that's where we want to sit. That's good. That's really good news. So then taking, thank you, Andrew, sorry. So then taking a look at the behaviors specifically, our district-wide most recorded behaviors was moderate physical contact, interrupting, and talking out of turn. And I just have to say, I love that we have that in peer-to-peer. Like, I think that's so powerful that our kids understand that it's not just me that I am impacting when I do that. Every time I see that, I'm pleased with how that was done. So, and then level one, goofing around. Elementary's most recorded was moderate physical contact, interrupting and talking on a turn, and goofing around. And secondary's, goofing around, rude remarks, and mean rude gestures. So for elementary, we had about 12,882. And in secondary, it was 1,528 total peer-to-peer behaviors recorded.
So what
Were they included in the initial numbers you gave?
Initial numbers of
the first ones were just for referrals.
The first ones were, so that's a really, honestly, a really good question that you bring up. So any of the behaviors that Jackie had just talked over, these are behaviors that were recorded that may or may not have been, led to a referral. Okay. So these, the referrals could be in these numbers, but not all of these behaviors were referred.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Now the numbers make more sense.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I wasn't understanding what you were asking. Yes.
We kind of went from like a top down, so not all referrals result in suspensions, not all behaviors result in referrals.
Okay. Which is ideal, ultimately, right? Because you want the teachers documenting the behaviors because it tells a story as a student's behavior progresses or even as it decreases. You want the documentation, but it doesn't always have to result in the referral. So,
and that's really what kind of allows us to tell more and more stories about individual students, about groups of students, about cohorts of students, which is super exciting for this Kickboard data because of all of the different things that we can pull, all the different things that we can tell, all the snapshots we can take, all the ways that we can help classrooms and teachers and administrators and whole schools figure out where are we? Where are we right now? Where are we throughout the year? Where are we this month? Where are we this week? So thinking about the 5-6 school that's coming up next year, we wanted to be able to just kind of show a little bit of the power of what this data can do for us and looking at how we're helping to plan for social-emotional planning for next year. So thinking around.
Would you say social-emotional panic?
Social-emotional planning?
Oh, I thought you said panic.
We're mining for good things.
Can we go back to that?
You can say it like
tell
that.
Me more.
We're panning for good things. We'll take that. So we wanted to start by focusing on where we can celebrate and what we can grow and what we can do. So between the fourth and fifth grade cohort coming in next year, we averaged 207 documented positive acknowledgments per student. So that means this cohort that's coming up has 207, as of May 16th, 207 documented positive acknowledgments to put their back on, to celebrate and to grow from. And we can think through the specifics of what those positives are. So fourth graders, or follows.
So these are literally documented for each student, 207 for each student.
Yep. Throughout the course of the entire year, or from this data is pulled from this September 2nd.
Yeah.
And it's powerful, right? Like it's so powerful when you have the software to nudge the adults to acknowledge the behaviors. Like it just gives you a platform to do it, and we could talk all day about the systems.
And I just wanted to clarify that that's what it means.
Absolutely, and thank you for asking questions. We look at this data all day, all the time. So this is just like normal office talk, but we appreciate the opportunity to answer questions about the data. So
looking at the positives,
mm-hmm.
How does the teacher? I mean, follows direction, a respectful. Let's say the whole class, she says, get up and go to the hallway. And the whole class gets up. Does each one of them?
And you can do
you
that.
You can do it.
And
that way.
There are quick ways to be able to do that without making it too laborious for the teacher.
Okay.
And there are quick ways if all but two do it. There's a quick way to make sure that everybody but those two get it.
And the beauty in that, right, is like you're calling out the positive behavior, and that encourages the students that maybe aren't totally on task. They see that, and they're like, oh, you know, and they kind of straighten up too.
Doesn't that also come from student to student? Is that included in this one?
Go ahead, sorry.
Oftentimes, students will tell teachers and tell staff, hey, so-and-so did a great job. Jackie did this great thing. Can you give her a point? Like, it happens a lot.
Can they give marigolds?
They can.
Give
so
the marigold cheap.
They can. And oftentimes, so specifically at Raisinville, if a student wants a teacher to give a marigold, they'll also give a kickboard point. And we're going to talk later about what we've done with this data and how we've used it throughout the year and how we've been able to really impact either specific teachers or specific buildings in this work. And we'll also talk about the entire district's positive behavior. So stay tuned for that one.
Just to clarify too, Darla, the student can go to the teacher and say, hey, I saw XYZ doing a great job or he was nice to me, but the student cannot log a positive for each other. It's a little more controlled than that.
Yeah.
But they can acknowledge it to the teacher, and the teacher can choose to validate that through a point.
We've heard a lot of older elementary students wanting to make sure that younger elementary students are rewarded for those things. We hear that a lot at Custer and Manor specifically. We hear that a lot, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
So being able to focus on these positives allows us to set strong goals for PBIS for the coming year, for us to hit the ground running as far as what September and October look like to really build some whole school-wide culture as far as the 5-6 building is concerned. But then we also want to know where we need to focus. What do we need to do as far as mitigating negative behaviors? So when we look at specific referrals by grade for fourth and fifth graders, fourth and fifth graders had these specific numbers. Fifth graders averaged about 3.5 referrals per student over the course of the year. Fourth grade about 3.2. 57% of these students did not have a referral at all throughout the course of the year. So that's a lot of great things to work through. We can also look at what the most referred behaviors were. So it was insubordination, moderate physical contact, and either intimidation or disrespect. So what this allows us to do is, once again, focus on those PBIS efforts, as well as some of that social-emotional planning. I'll be more clear in that word. Social-emotional planning around how we can do some tier one interventions, whole class interventions, proactively to make sure that we're teaching them the right skills and those foci. And we do that through our social emotional learning. So another thing that we've done for our social emotional staff is allow them to log their actions for students throughout the course of the year. And there's a whole menu of things that they can log to make sure that they're tracking the appropriate behaviors. So looking through, these are just specific numbers for fourth and fifth graders throughout the district. What they've relied on, what they focused on, and what we want to make sure is carried on into the next year. So the most consistent bit of social-emotional proactivity was through whole group and SEL, whole group or whole class SEL lessons. So those tier one proactive interventions, which we're really excited to plan out for them. And then thinking about small group SEL work, so how do we pull students out for either intervention, or do we have smaller groups in a different way that way? These students are primed and ready for that. Alternative lunches were used often, so if students need a different opportunity for lunches where they might struggle, this is an opportunity that they can still rely on. So
numbers of students?
These are numbers of interactions that have happened in total. So these could represent multiple students or one student with multiple engagement. We can pull those numbers more specifically if you'd like.
So like the 1156 for the group lessons, those could be like lessons with 30 students.
It could be, yeah.
30
yeah.
of those for
it,
each.
It could be, yeah. Yep. Yep.
When you pull them out of class for these group sessions and these, I think I'm probably going to use the wrong word, mini group sessions.
Sure.
How long are they, because you talked about doing them within the classroom, groups outside the classroom, and small groups outside the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So how much time are each one of those interactions?
So it's dependent on the school, and it's always dependent on how the planning is done with the teacher. So for example, at Raisinville, I know Darren Poach, who's going to speak with us later tonight, will plan that out with a teacher. And we'll have a specific time for a lesson, time for a plan. So generally his lasts about 20 minutes to half an hour. But that's pre-planned and all ready to go there.
Yeah.
So it's never like a last minute, we're just pulling these random kids. It's almost always extremely planned and very meticulous now that works.
So what class time is not being utilized for that? Is it during, I know you mentioned lunch. I can't imagine that would be happening during lunch. I mean, multitasking can be difficult.
Sure.
Especially the youngins.
Yeah.
So what time, because we look at the schedules and we know they're very tight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, going to class to class, what would typically be not that we could take in place of?
I think sometimes that's going to vary by teacher, by their individual schedule, what works in their day. And like he's saying, that's pre-planned, so that's accounted for, and the teacher, instructionally speaking, will have made sure that that fits with what needs to be covered in the day because it's planned for accordingly. So I would say, you know, that a lot of times that varies by teacher based on what.
And then the other ones are how long? The small group or the other?
I think that varies as well based on what's being covered, obviously, like as far as the duration of it is concerned.
I'm just thinking, like, is it a 5-minute, you know, get together just to kind of get things over, and is it more in-depth, like you said, 20 minutes to half hour for each of those?
I think it does really depend on what the goal is.
Yeah.
It depends on what the behavior is, the severity of said behaviors, if it's proactive, if it's if it has to do with less behavioral, emotional needs, it could happen that way too.
That would be good data. I mean, your data is
the time,
here.
Like how much? Yeah.
And that's
awesome. But.
Well, and Darren will be able to share some specifically of what he does. Liv Kleinow does work with, and this like restorative circles and things like that. That's another variation of small group that's tracked a little differently, our restorative conversation and that. But so, this stuff naturally will vary, like Andrew's saying, based on what the situation is or what the lesson is. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the other thing I really want to focus on, too, because we have this conversation coming up later this evening, is that there are 314 restorative practice meetings, too. So these could be restorative meetings that are handled in response to a suspension or in response to a referral, or they could be proactive impromptu conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So the students have an understanding of how restorative practice works. And making sure that that's really strong and carries on through 5-6 is a real focus that we're really excited to carry on in that work.
Yeah, and we're excited to share more with you guys later this evening.
For sure,
about
it's going
to
be great.
Yeah. So then taking a look at our teacher actions, if you can advance us.
Yeah,
thank you. No, you're good. If you take a look district-wide, so let me go back. Teacher actions, when those are logged, those are the steps that a teacher takes to intervene on a behavior, maybe proactively, reactively, We just want to, again, be able to tell the story. So we ask that our teachers document that information because that later helps inform what worked, what didn't, what patterns are we seeing. So when that's what we're referring to when we talk about teacher actions. So district-wide, the most recorded teacher actions was movement break, parent email, Kinvo, or message, parent contact through app. Elementary's most recorded teacher actions was, again, movement break, parent contact through app. And what is very exciting to see is the 15-second intervention.
Absolutely.
That is so exciting to see that that surfaced as a top teacher action because that goes right along with what we would hope we would see in Tier 1 instruction. Nothing is perfect, obviously. There's always room to grow. But when our teachers are going in immediately with that 15-second intervention, tell me what happened, what could we do differently next time, and having those quick conversations, that's really proactive work. So to see that come through as one of our top teacher actions is really important.
When you think about sweating the small stuff and having teachers feel empowered to sweat the small stuff.
That's it.
And being able to like manage classroom culture and be able to have these things in-house, how cool that they're doing these quick interventions. We're good. We're getting back. Butts are still in seats, which is fantastic.
Which when you look at our district most recorded totals as well, and you look elementary and you look secondary, you're seeing parent communication surfacing as well. And I think that's really important too. You know, our teachers are making that contact. We want that. So there's some really great data there. And then when you, so can we go back?
Yeah, absolutely. Here? Sorry.
So when you see in elementary movement break pops up, and then you see it pops up again in the district-wide most recorded teacher actions, this is actually, you talk about telling the story, and this is actually super cool. So in February and March, Custer was really struggling because it was indoor recess. And we know, right, like that it makes for squirrely kiddos. So when we convened as a PBIS committee in their building, we were really toiling over, like, how can we support? What can we do? So we said, let's make sure that we take a movement break. We add that as one of the behaviors in Kickboard. We can make that a PBIS goal. And we can put that, we call it a quick add behavior, and a lot of times that's really helpful to teachers because they're not scrolling through some of those behaviors, which we're hoping the company is going to make some adjustments to that for fall. But in the meantime, you can pin the behaviors right to the top. So part of February, part of March, we pinned movement break to the top for Custer. And what we saw was astronomical in how often that was being utilized.
5,800 of them?
It was fantastic. It was fantastic. So you're able to see that process, that PBIS process of identifying a problem, putting a support in place, and tracking it. It was so super cool. But I highlight that because on the next slide, we took out parent communication through the app, and we took out movement breaks from this data. And the reason we did that is because at the time that was school specific for one, and those movement breaks would have skewed this quite a bit, and we wanted to give you the most accurate data that we could pull. Right. So when you look at these bar graphs, these are the number of teacher actions pulled by month throughout the course of the year up through May. So pretty exciting stuff. Pretty exciting stuff.
Can we track teacher specific, classroom specific numbers?
We can. We tried
just
to pull.
Curious.
We
can.
Absolutely
you
can.
Mm-hmm.
We can pull things as granularly as you ask, and we can pull them as macro as we ask. We wanted to make sure that we were focusing on district level data.
Yeah.
But we can
and
absolutely pull
line.
It by admin or by staff member or by student or by classroom. Yep.
Do you look at that data now? For example, movement break. You know, maybe certain teachers utilize that more often than other teachers.
That's data that we'll oftentimes share with administrators so we can help them plan, especially when it comes to that positive, proactive PBIS data. Mm-hmm. We're looking at what classrooms are really honing in on this and where are we doing well, where do we need some possible coaching, where do we need some support, but we can absolutely do that. Yeah.
And we'll talk too. So Andrew and I come around and we will often do data studies within each of the buildings. So that's a practice that the buildings obviously have in place. And then when we join them, we focus just on PBIS specific. So a lot of times we're able to look at grade level data too, and we can support what's going on amongst grade levels, what are they struggling with, and we can use that data there too.
So. I'm just thinking that maybe a teacher who does more of the movement break has less of the more severe type of interventions.
Absolutely. And that's the hope and prayer, right? So when we think about how teacher actions can mitigate them submitting a referral, we look at that a lot. Oftentimes, we'll pull the amount of teacher actions compared to referrals and share that with administrators to see where they're going with that. So we can have administrators really push more teacher actions, logging and accomplishing more teacher actions that way.
We anticipate teacher actions should go up exponentially next year as well. Anytime that you implement a new program, which, as you guys know, last year was our first year with Kickboard, there's a learning curve. And in what soaks in per person is sometimes different. Our brains hold so much. And so there were a lot of teachers for whom the teacher action piece, like they were like, okay, referrals, I got it. This is what I got to do. Okay, I acknowledge them positively, got it. But the teacher action piece, I think for some, that just wasn't front of mind. So as we went through our PBIS meetings and our data studies throughout fall, we were like, this is something that you want to be focusing on too, because this helps us tell a story. So.
Yeah, because I was thinking if someone has 20 a day, a teacher has 20 a day, that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you're only doing 15-second interventions and logging and doing that, I'd imagine you probably couldn't do that under 3 to 5 minutes.
Well, and the nice thing that we talk about with teachers at those data studies too is how they can log this appropriately for them.
Yeah.
So how does it work for them to be able to use the software so it doesn't take up a ton of their day, but they're also tracking what they need to. So coming up with plans, coming up with procedures around when, where, and how they can do that. And if they need to write things down and log it back later, they can.
And it's quick. I mean, the logging process really is very, very quick. But it's still a matter for the individuals of finding a flow that works for them. And like Andrew said, we've supported with that too. But yeah, so it's a lot what the teachers are doing in a day. And you get to see it play out. It's very cool.
So along those same lines as I was talking about with the 4-5 data, we also use Kickboard to track social-emotional actions to see where our students are getting those social-emotional interventions, if it's proactive or reactive, and how where these things are happening. And this is actually started at the middle school, and they took it and ran, and then every other building came along very quickly. So district-wide, that whole group SEL instruction, social-emotional-based check-ins, and that small group SEL work was kind of front of mind. So we think about a lot of proactive work there, a lot of tier one interventions or some specific tier two interventions to help students with that. Think about that with elementary, that whole group SEL work, that small group SEL work, and those alternative lunches. We're also able to track breaks. So if a student has a break tied to their behavior plan, or their 504, we can track those as well to see how often a student is utilizing that. So if a student is utilizing it too much, utilizing it not enough, we can help coach through that as well. So this allows us to really kind of look at a whole school's work on what is the social emotional practice, how can we support, and specifically for students. looking at the trends, and May's numbers are low because we took half the month, but just like with teacher actions, we see growth. And we see growth, and that means a couple of things for us. One, people are needing or utilizing these more throughout the year, which is great. But two, people are becoming more comfortable with this work.
Absolutely.
People are becoming more comfortable with the process, the why behind the what. Mm-hmm. So we're really, really excited around what these SEL actions and their growth means for helping students be more specific in their work, which is really nice.
So the next slide that you're going to look at, we've kind of laid this out really intentionally for you because the data is pretty exciting. So if you take a look at this timeline, last spring, Andrew and I had the honor of working with our transportation staff to create a new PBIS matrix for bus expectations. And we revamped that, and the way that that was done, we pulled a group that was representative of the whole, and Patty was a part of that, and we kind of put that together. So that was the starting of that work. And then in October of this year, we brought that document back around, and we provided, it was very late October, we provided our first tier one bus management training, which is, essentially classroom management on the bus. And we really got into the nitty-gritty with our drivers around how do you get your students' attention. Like, we can't talk about setting a behavior goal if you can't get their attention yet, right? So we provided some really very basic tier one instruction around that. And then looking into November, we provided CPI, which is our crisis prevention intervention training, student PBIS reteaching. We went into the buildings at Custer and we did some reteaching around PBIS expectations with groups of students that we were able to identify were most in need. Restorative practice training, that was given by Liv Kleinow. You're gonna see her later this evening and she'll talk more about that too. And then our first bus PBIS goal was launched and we had the support of Chick-fil-A to help us financially, which was really, really, really cool. Our drivers were so excited. Then in December, we provided additional CPI training. We did we created at that time the transportation flowchart, which is what our Dean of Transportation utilizes as she works through bus referrals.
She's great.
She is wonderful.
She's fantastic.
And then in April, we provided trauma training. That was something that Andrew and I had obtained in March. And Liv provided restorative practice kind of 102. And she went a little bit deeper with what those conversations look like. So when you take a look at our transportation data, so when we provided that tier one training and we got them, we helped make sure that they understood Kickboard, how to use it. We implemented that. We taught them the software. We were then able to track it. So if you look at the data for the first 9 weeks, from September 2nd to November 3rd, they were averaging at the elementary 42.8 referrals a week, 5.6 in secondary, for a district weekly average of 48.4. Then when you look at the 27 weeks since we adopted the PBIS on the buses throughout transportation, and we provided that timeline of training that we showed you, we dropped to 14.1 weekly at elementary, 1.9 in secondary, which dropped us to a mere 16 total weekly for the district. So then when you look down at our decrease, elementary decreased by 67.1, secondary decreased by 66.1, and district-wide we decreased bus referrals by 66.9% weekly. It was awesome, and that's why it felt really important to walk you.
We should be focusing on the road.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it was just it was important that you guys could kind of go on that journey with us and see where those numbers came
from. Are those actions connected to the actions on the school time? I know we ran into this up here before.
On the school what?
So when something happened on the bus, it wasn't connected to what was going on and documented. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
An altercation.
They weren't connected. So anything that happened on the bus was a bus transportation they deal with, and anything that happened in the classroom was a classroom.
Are referrals being logged in Kickboard?
Say that again.
Are the referrals being logged in Kickboard?
They are.
Yes, they are.
So they are connected.
So teachers and drivers utilize the same program to submit their referrals. Yeah, they're utilizing the same system.
It's a centralized system.
So everybody.
When did you start doing that?
That was in November.
Okay.
November 3rd.
So it is recent.
Yes. And I think that lends itself to a much bigger point behind this timeline. And I hate to jump in, but I think that a lot of what made this work so well is that bus drivers felt real ownership and autonomy with themselves as educators, that they're not just something, that they are a really valued member of this team, that they get the exact same training that we want to give teachers on certain things, and they feel real ownership. They love their kids. They really want to create those relationships. They really want to have fun on the bus. They really want to feel that. There's a couple of really cool stories around trauma and restorative practice training with some of our drivers. And they really felt that ownership, and they have a little bit more life in that work.
Is that the time when aides were added to the bus?
I am not sure, because those have kind of been as they could hire. So I don't know.
I just knew there was an increase at the happening.
We've always had special ed aides on the bus.
Right.
But we decided that we needed bus monitors because the behaviors were so bad.
Right.
As you can see by the data.
Yeah.
And this has just been an orchestration since really November. But I have to tell you, it's been life-changing. Our quality of life meetings that we have, they cry, actually. their story. I mean, I know that sounds really hokey, but they really do. They're that emotional about it. They have bought into this. Mm. And as a matter of fact, I believe that Jackie and Andrew are going to do a book study with the drivers this summer. I mean, they bonded. I mean, it's crazy how, and I mean, they talk about you guys like, well, you're in their college.
Cry.
We are.
We very much are.
We had
they're
the pleasure.
Fantastic people.
So when did the increase in bus monitors happen? Was the same time around in November, the increase that went on?
No, the bus, that's been ongoing since the beginning of this school year. Because we
It started at the beginning of the school year. Okay. I was looking at the correlation because we talked about what interventions are applied at the time. I was just wondering if that was an intervention that was applied that can correlate how
well we also have a dean of transportation now too.
Right.
Which has really, I mean, you've worked with her, I know.
She's phenomenal.
Hand in glove, for sure.
You guys in the training, but that's really helped have the constant message being the same positive thing from that dean of transportation.
Well,
she's phenomenal. Also.
She's
great. She always wants to look at the full context.
Absolutely.
For sure.
We have really, I mean, that's a happy group, and we want to do everything we can to keep them happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because happy people stay, miserable people leave, and they really embrace these two.
Just a suggestion, maybe, and I know on their own time, but if you could have a couple of bus drivers come in.
Yeah,
and talk to us.
Oh, we'd love that.
You guys would love them. Oh. You would love all of them. And we've been fortunate to train the monitors that we had available to us at that time as well, that were employed at that time. We've been in conversation with Patty around what it can look like going into fall to make sure that those folks receive their refresher and that we can bring along the new staff and. Patty's fantastic too.
Yeah, she's been in those trainings along with them.
Yep.
So she's learning at the ground floor with them. So it's a whole group, whole family dynamic, and they all feel like they can rely on each other. It's an incredible place to be.
I think too a meaningful moment, let's put it that way, was providing trauma training to that group as well, because we can talk to them about PBIS and they listened and they did it and they got it. But to get an adult to understand where the behavior comes from allows them to stop taking the behavior personal.
Yep.
And that was huge. And what came after that was additional restorative practice training. And we structured it that way very intentionally. Mm-hmm. And that's where Andrew's mentioning some stories that came out of that. And the way those drivers connected with students and had that aha moment was significant and, quite frankly, I know for one in particular, it's been sustained. It has really changed her relationship with her
kids.
Absolutely.
So, for sure.
So if you take a look, as we launched this, we made sure that we provided bus-only positives. That was important for them, obviously, as they kind of got into the training piece, but so we could pull that data too. So we had 79,004 total bus-only positives recorded, and you can see the breakdown by respectful, responsible, and safe, and those are the pillars that we use for transportation. Each building's behaviors, whether it's pause or roar or soar, whatever that might be, can always be broken down into respectful, responsible, and safe, but oftentimes you'll see districts utilize it that way. So that's how we coached transportation. So that's how we were able to break down the data.
So when we think about overall positivity, what does that positivity look like throughout the entire district? This is the fun stuff. This is really the fun work that Jackie and I get to do, meeting with each building and being able to celebrate with kids, being able to celebrate with teachers, with administrators, with district level staff. It's really a fun time, and it's a really good opportunity for us to make sure that students see themselves as the positive and not what they do wrong. So when we think about what our district top behaviors are, following directions, being respectful, and participating in class. That's a really strong top three behaviors. If I were going to pick three top behaviors to have for my kids throughout the district, those would probably be the three that I'd pick, which are pretty great. And those are pretty strong in elementary. Elementary carries the day on that a lot. For secondary is being above and beyond, following directions, and participating in class. And then this is the slide. This is the cool slide. In our data polling cycle, we've tracked 797,133 positive acknowledgments of students doing something that is respectful, responsible, or safe. So when you think about that, that's 86 average points per student, or that's 4,000, I had it written down, I had it memorized, and I forgot, 4,816 a day. So that's one behavior per student per day at least. So that means, if we think about averaging, that every student at least once a day was told, you're doing something good.
That's huge.
Which gives them something to work on, something yep. to grab back a hold of, something for them to, I had a good day at school. Somebody told me something great. Somebody told me I was good. Somebody told me I was worth something. So this is only going to grow, and it's more than doubled since last year. And last year's a little bit hard because we didn't have specific data because people were learning the software. But it's just really impactful to see that these are the opportunities we're giving our kids. And we always kind of knew that these things were there, but they're growing, and nobody can track it.
To track
it,
show
it, and so it's cool. It's incredible. And when you have these conversations with bus drivers or with teachers, that they see that there's an opportunity for them to really acknowledge students this way and to track it, it's very, very powerful work.
So we want to talk a little bit too about just the overall view of the PBIS work and the community of kindness work that we have been so fortunate to get to do this year. So we facilitated 36 PBIS committee meetings across the district, which is awesome. That was at every building that we work with, almost every month. We had 48 individual data studies that helped facilitate teacher reflection of their own data and their grade level data, as it is in Kickboard. We set 33, and when I say we, I do not mean Andrew and I, I mean the work that we've done with the buildings, because we are just there to support, but those committees are doing the work, and it's mm-hmm. awesome. So there were 33 PBIS school-wide behavior goals that were set, and roughly, I don't want to say this is exact, but we think about 30 professional development sessions, presentations that support trauma-informed practices, PBIS, Tier 1 Behavior Management, CPI, and more that I'm sure we probably are not entirely remembering. But
it's been a busy year. Those data studies are really cool because we get to help student teachers understand their data.
Yep.
They get to learn how to pull their own data. Yep. All of this data is accessible to them for what they track. And then we get to action plan and goal set for them, which is a phenomenal.
That's
48 essentially teams.
Yeah, 48 roughly. Grade level groups.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's groups.
It's groups.
Yeah. It's whole grade level groups. In
you said teacher reflection as a singular. That's why I was looking at.
That's probably.
So sorry. It was a
grammatical error.
Yeah.
I'm not picking point. Clarity
is important for sure.
You're good.
And we want to make sure that it was grade level teams. Yeah. Grade level cohorts.
So, for sure. So when we take a look at some of our community of kindness work, which really is that big picture idea of how we can connect the community to the work that we're doing as a district, that brings us to this year's kindness walk. And what was really awesome was we had 600 registered participants for this year's walk. It was 317 adults, 283 students. It was also Mother's Day weekend, so I think that impacted why that was not the total number that showed up that day. But when that is your registered participants, that is 600 individuals saying, I can get behind this. I support this work. We want to be here for this.
Right.
Last year ended up being
a little over 400.
For register. Yeah. Yes, 4:30, I want to say, right? I think we sat around 4:30.
So what was the attendance then?
So last year we had a slightly higher attendance because I think that was what we sat around with attendance.
Yep.
This year, if you included volunteers, I think we sat around to about half of the 600 that registered.
Yeah. Like 322, 323.
About 320.
Yeah. And we acknowledged too that particular week, I think it had rained
Five out of seven days.
And it was Mother's Day weekend. So
it's not Mother's Day, right?
We appreciate the interest. That's what we talked about. Like that's your North Star right there. That's people saying they support what you're doing, they want to be a part of it. Kids that want to be there, parents that want to bring their kids. So we had 25 total businesses that supported by hosting a table or making a contribution. So for example, Red Letter donated a 9-by-16-foot screen.
Which is cool.
Right, right.
Williams Insurance.
Yep.
Williams Insurance.
I knew someone.
Wasn't
stopped.
Yep. And then Williams Insurance, along with a lot of other businesses, hosted a table. And that was, part of that work was the conversations, right? Like engaging the families and the community in the conversations, and the prompts that we had this year were really, really meaningful.
Absolutely.
I wish we had brought some examples of those. But, and then we had.
It was a little chilly that morning, so it was, maybe that.
It got a little better once the sun came up, but that was a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then we had 41 total volunteers. That was amazing growth from last year. Mm-hmm. We did not have to beg and plead and ask.
No,
I mean,
no,
they came out of the woodwork, our staff wanting to be there.
That
was, yeah,
just,
it was just
from the district.
District support, yeah.
Yes, yes.
For sure.
Yeah, right up to the last, very last minute, we had people asking to be a part of it. So so that was really exciting. So we put it through a few photos up if you want to take a look at it. But and I'll read some of this if you want to leave that up for
sure.
A minute. But we have on the next slide, it shows a little bit of the feedback. And I think the anecdotal feedback is really important, and I'm not going to read all of it to you guys. You obviously have some in front of you. But one individual stated that after the walk, I gained a deeper appreciation for our community. I saw how friendly and welcoming people are, and I noticed things I had never paid attention to before. It made me feel more connected and proud to be a part of it. Somebody else said, I saw a new beautiful part of the city that I was unaware of. Someone said it made me feel like I needed more empathy in my life. I needed to be more forgiving and not assume. So when we, both with the gala, with the walk, this year, last year, we send out a feedback form. And we do that intentionally because we want to know, like, our, you know, what is the impact of what we're doing. So if you take a look up here, you can see a visual. We had 100% of respondents say that they would participate next year. The red is agree. The blue is strongly agree, and the orange is neutral, and then it goes into disagree and strongly disagree. So again, I will not read all of that in great depth to you, but you can see the feedback was incredible. Mm. We even had so we hosted a 5K in conjunction with it, and that was held at the IHM, and just due to weather, they were having part of the route repaved. And it got pushed back because of the rain. So the night before, we found out we had to adjust the route, which meant some of the signs that were to guide the walkers went to the 5K. And it was, and the feedback from the 5K could not have been more positive. People were, it was awesome. It was awesome.
The water stop.
The water stop really made it.
Yeah.
I think it was the
water.
It was.
Yeah. It was.
Cheerful.
If it had not been for you, David.
You were probably the feature.
You were the linchpin of the whole operation.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so.
And then the other great event we were able to host this year is the Great Gatsby Gala to help fund some of this work and to really help promote everything that we do. And we were, you know, the team of Jackie and Jamie and I and Andy and everybody that came together to make this work.
Yes.
Oh, it was a great, great event. It was a great time. We had a great time planning it. We had 74 businesses contribute, 22 wonderful gift baskets. We sold 171 tickets for the day, and we raised over $18,000. That's after expenses to help fund some of this work. So the money from the Great Gatsby Gala paid for the walk, which last year it did not. So that's pretty incredible. It was really a fantastic night. Some of us were there, so if you weren't able to make it, most everybody dressed up in Great Gatsby attire, which is great. The mayor still says how he wishes he would have dressed up in attire because he did not know it would be this well attended. But it was a phenomenal time. It was, you know, everybody just was able to let loose, have a good time, and still think about empathy and kindness, and still really think about why we're here. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
So the $18,000, is that part of the general fund or is that part of your own budget?
This is what we use to help support the PBIS work, especially for those events like the Kindness Walk. So we use any general fund.
So you have your own account.
If I may, please,
you can answer this question a lot more eloquently.
There's an account in the Student and School Activity Fund, so it's separate from the general fund. It's in one of those separate accounts.
On that list?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I will take note of it next time.
Beautiful. So kind of the same thing. We're not going to read every bit of response. We're very happy to report that 100% of respondents said that they would want to come back in the future, which is great. I think that this one quote was really important. It's an incredible reminder of what is being done in the school setting, and it was definitely experienced at this event. All the helpers were incredibly kind, which is the most important part. And it was a great reminder for everyday interactions. So people who were there, connected with each other, had a great time, and realized exactly how big this is, and how big our community of kindness is, and how much it's growing. And we were absolutely thrilled to be able to have that. So.
And we will share more with you when our restorative practice team presents at the board meeting.
Absolutely.
So, thank you guys very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Oh my gosh.
Those were really good.
That's true.
Yep. Quality of life meeting.
Check that out.
Yeah.
Oh,
they were really good. I think everyone enjoyed them.
Yes. So a huge thank you to you two for this work. 2 years we talked about the idea of how to buy time back in the classroom. And one of those areas we knew had to be in student discipline and engagement. And that's why the launching of our Stronger PBIS program was crucial. And so as we watch our student achievement go up, it's only because of this work that's happening right there. We watch our student discipline rates drop and our suspension rates drop. And it's because of this work right here. I think that what's most impressive as we think about it is kids riding to and from school. And thinking in terms of our bus drivers feeling like they're a part of the system, that they're a part of this great work. And again, our goal is to get kids to and from school safely and that they can start their day out in a positive way. And for our bus drivers to not come off the bus after that morning or that afternoon and say, I'm done and I'm going somewhere else. And so thank you for going out there and you know, supporting them, because that's what we're actually hearing from bus drivers is they've this level of training that they're getting at Monroe Public Schools has really made it so they want to be here. And they tell others about it, which is great, because as others are struggling to fill routes, we're okay right now. So thank you for that work there.
I have two little questions,
yep.
If I may, and they don't have to be answered now. But as far as the most referred behaviors for the secondary, tardiness was the number one.
Mm-hmm.
I was just interested to know how many of those tardies were like first hour tardies versus throughout the day for different classes?
That's a really great question. So this is totally going to be anecdotal because it's off the top of my head, but the vast majority of both middle school, high school, all middle school, high school, and Orchard were first hour.
First hour.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yep.
And that's not always the student's fault. But
and that's,
correct.
Yeah, we've had some conversations around how to think through that, how to plan through that. And how to.
And they've said, I mean, that's been some of their PBIS work as well at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, in the middle school.
The other question I had, and you don't have to answer now, is the most referred behaviors versus the major behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
I was interested to know what percent of these most referred behaviors, or as I guess the way I wrote it down, what percent of these three behaviors, what was the percentage, I guess, versus the other major behaviors? So maybe that's something you take back.
That would take a little deciphering, but that we can ask.
And then can I just make like one request?
Yeah.
And again, doesn't need to happen now. But when we're looking at the monthly data, like
mm-hmm.
the bar charts with the months, if you could just give us like the number of days of instruction for that month, just because like vacation days, snow days.
We have some of those numbers broken down if you're interested.
Yes. That would be great. But like obviously like you don't need to give us that data like on the fly. That's okay.
Is there something in particular?
No.
Okay.
I was
just to be able to look at, like, for example,
sure.
December has 15 days of instruction.
Right.
Right.
And versus 22 days in
and
January,
like,
or
spring break bounces around between March and April and
We got that broken down somewhere else. So
there's
like,
just some months that are longer than others.
That's good feedback. Thank you.
Yep.
We are data junkies up here.
So are we.
We're data junkies down here.
Okay.
It's interesting to note that the spikes are during like high candy, like October, April. Like
I think so.
Halloween
instruction.
Yeah.
And maybe the instruction time in the last
candy.
Yeah.
Candies.
So when we, and I'm going to take only two more moments on this, is though when we sat down and went through and we're looking at the data, we started, we talked about, like, we focused on that fourth and fifth grade, thinking about the fifth and sixth grade next year, or what is it that we're seeing track in different grade levels. There was a couple of other aha moments that I can't share here, that's going back into the buildings, because we saw this, all of a sudden, this one unique uptick in three of four buildings in 2 months. Yeah. And we're like, why is that? Mm-hmm. And because, and so there's a story there, and you want to uncover what that story is, and it just helps for planning in the future, if there's something unique that had occurred. So, but remember though, that we're asking, the reason by we do PBIS and we're doing this manner is we need that information, because it helps us to make better decisions. And so, yes, having teachers log it and put that in there, it is vital for us to know where the problems are at, or even to champion what the positivities are there. So,
if I can make one comment, it's going to be interesting next year with the fifth and sixth pulled out.
Yeah.
Which maybe are sort of, hopefully right now, maybe they're a little bit of mentoring the younger kids, and how that's going to affect the positive behaviors next year.
Well, and part of why we wanted to pull that was thinking of that as like a cohort, and what is that going to look like when they get into seventh and eighth grade, right? Like, how has that changed affected that middle school transition?
The middle school is very excited to see that team and family be built at the 5-6 level. And Andy, I didn't know if you want to, I know we're getting short on time, but our theme or focus for next year kind of plays in more into that, with buying minutes and working with teachers to reduce the, or to de-escalate, to get back to teaching. So even more work to double down on the McAvoy stuff from 2 years ago.
Well, and that's that 15-second intervention.
Yeah.
If we have our teachers really doing that, that's being proactive and addressing it quickly. Okay, so I want to just take, I've got two other items on the agenda. One is the athletic league discussion. As you know, we've been, over the last few years, talking about, should we stay in the SEC, move out of the SEC? There's been a lot of conversations that have lived in that arena. And so we did fill out an invite to the KLAA. And I'm just going to try and get my text from chat right here. And fully thinking that, okay, that league right there would have enough schools, so that it would be like an 8-team league. And right now there's only been two teams that have, two schools, us and Crestwood, that have made the application.
Can we go back and what are we talking about?
Athletics.
Yes, okay. I got that much.
So we're talking about not moving out of the SEC, which is the Ann Arbor School League that we're currently in.
Okay.
And moving into a different league, potentially.
This has nothing to do with the Athletic Association or nothing?
Nothing to do with the MHSA.
Okay.
Just,
okay.
No, nothing to do that.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, the Athletic League is all about, for the athletic directors, you want to have 8 to 9 schools in your Athletic League, because it helps with scheduling, okay? Yeah. And you want your athletic leagues to be competitive and all that. So knowing that right now, we're still on the fence if we're going to make any adjustments. I will say that in our last SEC meeting, they actually had a vote to move forward with the conversation around an expansion with the KLAA. And what that would look like is you'd have four divisions set up in that mega league. It's 28 schools. And so you'd have seven schools in each division. The nice thing about that is, for example, like in our grouping right there, it'd be like Belleville, John Glenn, Wayne Memorial, Fordson, Dearborn, Monroe, Crestwood. And then you have Ypsilanti, Lincoln, Jackson, Chelsea, Adrian, Pinckney, Tecumseh, and Ypsilanti in another group. So that's kind of what it looks like. The nice thing is, in a more of a mega league mentality, is it allows you to just play those teams. There'll be crossovers, other things. So you're really filling all your games. And for us, what we're trying to do is get to more of an equitable level of competition. I mean, yes, we're fortunate this year. Yeah, we won three district championships in baseball, soccer, and soccer. But when it comes to league championships and the competitive side of the league, it is tough there. But the other part is it's driving distances. We really like to get on 275 or 275, because right now everything we do is on 23 and 94. Okay, so Ann Arbor to Jackson to Chelsea to Dexter. So that's the other rationale there. But more to come on that. Like I said, the good thing was, though, the SEC, which was a big step for them, because we made that initial point that we're looking,
and put an application together, it forced them to say, let's have a bigger conversation around an expansion of it. Because when we begin to look at the Ann Arbor schools and their location to a Howell and to Brighton, you know, they're right up the road from them. And that's part of the KLAA West. So it's more of just that expansion. So great opportunity right there. But for us, we're going to just wait and see if there's anyone else applies. And so there may not be anything happen right here at the end of this month. And
what's the deadline if you do make a switch?
So what they're trying to do is put it all together for the fall of 26. That's okay. Because this coming year is 25-26 school year. Those schedules are already in place across all the leagues. This is all perpetuated on the three Livonia schools that left the KLAA and moved out. Okay, so that all of a sudden created this domino effect of people starting to look. And so those three schools are out of the KLAA for the start of the 26th year. So that's why there's this look going, who's willing, who is wanting to join and make those moves. So a lot more to come on that one right there, but I just want to give you a quick update that I'm not sure where this is going to end for us. Because we didn't see the SEC actually having a conversation around the idea of joining together maybe with the KLAA. And so more to come on that.
And I think you had mentioned in a previous discussion, Bedford is actually into the, like, a Toledo league?
No, so Bedford, they're in with the SEC, so they would stay in with the Ann Arbor schools because of their proximity, 94 or 23. But Bedford lived in the best world because at the end of the day, they used to be in the Toledo league, okay? But they could, if the SEC all of a sudden kind of just broke apart, they live in a location where it works well for them because of their size and schools that they can still get to, where we really need to get on back on the 75, which from all intents and purposes, from what I understand, is in the past, that was where we were at a long time ago. And then there were shifts and things happened a long time ago. So there were shifts that occurred. So I just want to give you that update that is something that's still being discussed.
Border Cities League.
Yep.
The Border Cities League is what we were in forever.
Yep. So.
Which is all like 75. Yeah. Wyandotte, Royal Oak.
Yep.
Grosse Pointe, South.
Oh, yeah, because we played those. Yeah.
And which,
Lincoln Park.
You know, you start talking about like the Down River League.
That those that.
Yep. Just right up 75. Yep.
So more to come there. There will be, if we do anything, we'll bring forward to you as a recommendation if we see any kind of other traction, but there's that. The other part is last month we had a special workshop where we started talking about the facilities and pools options. And what I would like to be able to do is if you look in your packet right there's a page. We have set up four special Mondays to talk specifically about the facilities and pools. Now, next Monday, there are two other agenda items. One was the budget was requested. We get that onto a work session. So that'd be on next Monday also. But we want to take these dates right here and specifically talk only about facilities and pool and those options. So as more information comes out, we'll just keep working through it on these dates. But I didn't want to feel like, okay, we never, it's too big of an item to just set it into our regular work session modes. So that's why this was put into just a specific dates outside of it. So it's just a special work session. It doesn't stop or preclude the other dates that we've set aside because as you've been watching, those dates have been getting used each month. So it doesn't stop.
I'm assuming we're talking about the bond.
Yes.
So we want to set four meeting times for exclusive bond discussions. I'm really not understanding this. Like, when we look at academics and we look at the amount of time we spend on academic and talking about the learning and talking about where we're at and the time we talk about that, we don't spend four meetings talking about what we are here to do is educate. And so it kind of frustrates me a little bit.
But we do, Darla. We spend every board meeting, board work session, either on student academics and or other items as for the bond for the board's agenda. This is a big topic.
You talk about academics every time?
Well,
I'm trying to understand.
Well, no, I take that back. Not every single time. We bring in, like we did here, the data on this one. We're going to be doing
This is an academics.
Or we're bringing in the student achievement in July, like we said we were.
Yeah, but that's once every 3 months.
Right, because that's how often our student data
is ready
for you.
But we're going to put 4 meetings on a bond.
Yes, because if we don't start talking about it, we're going to run by all of our dates. So I'm trying to help the board set up dates for us to have conversations. These are 4 special dates. When we talk about all the other work sessions we have, what else would you like to have in there when it comes to student achievement?
Are you asking me now?
We bring in our
student. I have a list of stuff that I've been requesting to put onto an agenda.
And we've been putting them all on the agendas.
We didn't designate to clean off our list before we're applying more Mondays on the bond work.
I am sorry for that because I've been under the impression that we have almost covered every item that you've asked us to have on the agenda in a board workshop. And that has been our goal since January when Tom came as the board president. We had a list. We're working through that. Like I said, I know that you'd asked for us to put on the agenda the budget.
So that's on next Monday night. I can resubmit my request again. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem doing that. And I think there's other board members that would probably have stuff that they would like to focus on to get accomplished during our time sitting here. But to spend 4 of our Mondays exclusively on a bond.
These are 4 separate Mondays to the outside of the Mondays that we have already scheduled.
We already know that.
Okay.
So the board set the calendar and the board set the schedule.
Yeah.
Right? And the board can make special meetings, right?
Correct.
And so where was this determined that the board is going to take this on? I get it that you want a bond.
So, no, I don't want a bond, Darla. I'm going to take care of that one right here. There's been conversations around what is our next phase. We've got this work, and so there's been what's going to happen in the pool, what's going to happen here. So we have to have a conversation there. At the end of the day, the discussion may be we're not doing a single thing, or we want to do something. I was trying to put it together in a manner where we have time allotted specifically to that because there are certain deadlines that we have to hit. We don't hit the deadlines. Anything that we want to do when it comes to if we need to take something to the voters is out the door. And I don't want to be told, well, hey, you guys rushed us.
So why don't the first discussion be whether the board wants to move forward and spend the time in the discussion? We've had one discussion about this.
Oh, I'm sorry. I could have reworded it like that. Would the board like to do more discussions?
Well, I think maybe that's something that should be voted on. Would the board like to focus our time and energy on moving forward with a bond at this time? We have a lot happening. There's a lot going on simultaneously. We do know that. But I do think that the direction of where we go should be a board vote.
Well, I agree that it should be a board vote, but I also think that we've gotten resounding feedback from the community that the pool should be one of our primary focuses moving forward. We had a packed boardroom with dozens of people with public commentary telling us that the pool needs to be one of our next investments. So I can understand that maybe we don't want to immediately put 4 meetings onto the calendar that specifically focus on facilities and pool, facilities and pools. However, I do think that there's merit to blocking time in our schedule to put this as a priority. And I do want to say that, yes, facilities aren't textbooks, it's not students in classrooms, but our pool and our facilities are education, like they do fulfill educational purposes. That is part of our business. And as a board, we do approve the allotment of funds. We are the people that have to support these decisions and listen to what our constituents have to say. So this is part of what we have to do. And I would even go as far to say that if, and in my opinion, when the pool is updated, when our facilities do get updated, they become classrooms. we teach students how to do things that are important. They achieve things in those spaces during the academic day as well as beyond the academic day. So I understand that it's not in a traditional sense like math, but it is part of the educational system and it is an important part of what we do.
I totally supported the pool and the need and the understanding for the desire to have the pool in the area that it wants to be. But I, from my understanding, in the 2020 bond, and that was the last bond there was, the pool was resoundingly not something that the community had voted on. So is there a proposal to do the same thing they did in 2020, is to put it out to the community and say, hey, are you interested in donating money, because it comes from the, it comes from their pockets, on what are your priorities? And I believe that's what they did with the last bond. And I think it was very effective because we referred to that many, many, many times. So if the community has changed it, then I would say that I understand that, but this isn't just the pool. The pool, I think, was put out at, what, 10 million? This is 70 million.
Well, yeah, let's, I think we're focusing on the pool when, in fact, a lot of this bond is to complete the work on the schools to get them up to a level for continuing for the next 30 years without any major work. And the pool, and maybe through all these discussions, the pool stays in, or maybe it doesn't. We don't know, but certainly that discussion as to what, if we do a potential bond, what we want to include is going to come out of these discussions. And I look at this as a tentative schedule. We'll start with the first couple meetings, and that may decide it doesn't go anywhere or if we continue on.
So we don't want to put this to a board vote to see if this is something we want to do right now or maybe put it on for next year. Because we have a lot going on right now. We got the redesign going on. We have this other work finishing up. We have all these more bid packs coming out. And all of that is the type of work that we're somewhat discussing.
I
think that if we're asking the community for money, we should do what they did. Let's ask the community. If the community comes back and says, hey, yeah, we want pool number one, then we know that we're using their money right. And maybe they will, Mary. You know, maybe that's what they do want.
So that's what these meetings, this, and if I appreciate that, Tom, to just go with just the first two, that's what those meetings are designed to do, is to actually figure out, do we even, what is that? There's no proposal. It is there. What I want to also point out, though, is it's back to the whole thing of timelines, okay? Is that the, if you did anything, like, for example, in November of 26, you go to your, our, we go to our voters and we pass something. No construction begins in our school district till the summer of 28.
But it's still the same thing. Why didn't we put this out to the community like they did with 2020?
Because that, we're not even at that phase yet. Yeah, that's what this is. I have it. I'm sharing information with you. You guys are going to help as we talk through that. What is that next step? Because I am. This is a bond. Is not the superintendent. It is us, and or a decision being made about what our next steps are.
What's that?
For the general fund discussion.
That's coming
right, that's next, that's on the 16th.
16th, yeah.
So on Monday night,
I'm just requesting that this would be put to a board vote on if this is something we want to focus on this year or we want to postpone it for next year, because it doesn't have to be done this year. I understand there's a desire, but we have all the bid packs that need to be done too. So maybe if we could put all the information together, then the board can decide whether they want to move forward or not.
Well, we're scheduled for the 16th to have a meeting next
yes.
Monday. Can we decide on the 16th if this is something we want to go forward with?
Yes.
I mean, we're already locked into being here that day.
That'll be our specific
discussion. That'll be our that board discussion.
And that night we were talking about the budget per Darla's request, and we'll talk this out.
That's fine.
That works.
Yeah, that works.
Okay.
Perfect. That's all we have for tonight.
Okay. Carrie, do we have any public commentary?
None that has been turned in.
Okay, thank you. In that case, that concludes our agenda. Can I have a motion to adjourn the work session?
Motion to adjourn.
We have support?
Support.
Show of hands? Okay. That concludes the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education work session for Tuesday, June 10th. And the time is 6:44. We will